Thank you this day for gifts, people, Wyatt. We thank you, Lord God, that you give and then you receive again. And we just give you praise, Lord God, that every life has a purpose or a mission that must be chosen as it's declared to us. And that Wyatt chose early on to follow the good news, to follow the gospel, and with all his heart and soul and strength. It's what he breathed and lived. And we just give you praise that death is never the last word, but life everlasting, life eternal. And thank you, Lord God, for the hundreds and thousands of people that were touched by a young life that already accomplished more than many of us who lived a lot longer. And I thank you, Lord God, that you made his life every minute of every second count for the kingdom of God and for Wyatt's personal love affair with you. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to remember last week that because of the Resurrection Sunday, the message about Jesus being God, that Jesus is God. And it's so important because it's the foundation of our faith. Today, in light of what's happened this week, I want to also build on that, build something on that. And that is that the resurrection from the dead is unique. It's not understood in other cultures, and they have different, other religions have different understandings, including Israel. Israel was not against the idea that one could live again, but it was never developed. And even though Elijah, for example, just went straight to heaven, they weren't against the idea. But they just left that up to the mystery of God, but it's not a mystery for us. It is the foundation of our faith, is that every one of us, because of Jesus' resurrection, from out of the dead, out of the realm of the dead people, that Jesus was lifted up, he was raised up from the dead. So also, we who are now alive, as just the brother just read, will meet the Lord, and not only that, but we will be raised up in the same way. Now, there's a difference between his resurrection and ours. Jesus' resurrection was different because he never sinned. Therefore, he wasn't raised by mercy, but you and I have sinned, including Wyatt. But we're raised up by mercy, by the grace of God. And there's power in the mercy of God, according to the scripture. There's power according to the mercy of God. Jesus was raised also from the dead, but what you may not know is that he had life in himself. You and I do not. You are not born with life in yourself. So you are raised up as someone who didn't have life, but you can choose to be related to the one who did have life, eternal, everlasting. And you will never have life in yourself, ever, at any time. But you have Christ, who is our life. Christ is our life. So because we're related to him, therefore we have life forever. And we are raised then from the dead out of the mercy or compassion of the Father, because God loves sinners who repent. Sinners who repent. That's a gift of God. That's a gift of God. You can't make yourself believe. You can't make yourself repent. can't cause yourself to do it. It just happens. And so we see that we're raised up from the dead out of the mercy of God and out of the power of that mercy, which transforms us into his likeness in this world. That's why we can say in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection from out of the dead. So we don't have any doubt about where our brother is. In God's sight, he's alive. In our sight, he's out of sight and he's laying down. He's not standing up right now in our sight, but in God's sight, he's standing up. Now, resurrection comes from a Greek word, anastasis. Ana means again. Again. Stasis means stand. So, to stand again, or to rise up again, or after being held, you're freed or let loose again. So, for Jesus, he didn't rise up for himself, but he rose up for you. He rose up for Wyatt. He rose up for all of us, so that we could also stand in the presence of God to complete the mission or the purpose or the destiny or to inherit that which God intended when he first created us. Jesus was not created. So Jesus had no loss. Jesus came for us. He lived for us. He died for us. And that was Wyatt's whole life, was to share that with people, to share the joy of knowing the certainty, the absolute certainty that you can know that because he raised from the dead, no other religion has this. He raised from the dead, so you also who heard the gospel, you heard the preaching, then you received it, you believed in it. And then, not only that, but you also began to walk in that hope of the resurrection. And then we will actually experience forever and ever. So for us, death is not the last word at all. A physical death, a biological death, is not death. It's just simply falling asleep. This is a hard message, but you're just asleep. You're just laying down. But we believe in anastasis or anahistomai, which means that we will again stand up. We will again be standing on our feet in the presence of God, not in the presence of men, in the presence of God to finish our course, because it isn't finished here. I mean, it's not finished here. You don't see the end. When Jesus died, he couldn't see the end, but he saw it in faith. And we say it in that hope that what we believe in will actually be, and I'm certain of it. How can you be certain? Why can we be certain that even though he's dead, yet he lives? How can we be certain of that? Because it's written. It's written. Now, what that means is, it's not a self-evident truth. You can't argue with somebody. I don't believe in arguing people into the faith. I believe you persuade them by preaching the good news. And then they do, and then they don't. Some don't, some do. We have no control over that. But it's not a self-evident truth. Those that are looking for a self-evident truth, we hold these truths to be self-evident. This one is not self-evident. The resurrection from the dead is not evident to anyone, including the man who wrote those words. He did not know what would be in the hereafter. And no man can know it. It's not even possible for anyone to know it. So the only way you can know it is there's a contract that's been written down in the Bible, in the Word of God, which is certain. That certainty is that the dead in Christ will rise again. That's the certainty. And there isn't anything else. So anastasis or anahistomai, it's the same. There's many words, by the way, for it in the Greek. But they have to do with dying first. You have to die first, and then you rise. You have to lay down first. You have to rest from all your labors first. Unless you rest, you don't rise. So because he died and rested from all his labors, and he didn't do anything for 24 hours. But before he rose from the dead in the morning, he was busy early in the morning going down into Hades, talking to all those people who had died prior to the flood. And many of them rose up. Now, we know nothing about it. Nobody's ever developed that. But there were people that rose up and went into the town. Now, that's not a self-evident truth. You can't believe it until you see it, because it's not self-evident. But God has revealed it to us, written it down, and there's my certainty. That's all I need to know. Amen. That's all you can know. You cannot know more than that. You can't say, well, I don't have any security that that's true. Of course you don't, because it's not self-evident. It's not something you can reason out, think out, feel, understand, or grasp, or desire. It's beyond human comprehension, but this is the foundation of the church's faith. It has been from day one. It's never changed, and it never will change. This is what's unique in our faith, is that the dead are raised by the mercy and power of Almighty God. So that they may inherit the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. And all else will perish. Everything else will perish. Then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And blessed are all they that are part of the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the righteous. And so when he comes back soon, we'll be part of that group. Why? Because you were good? No. Because you were perfect? No. But because God is good and God was perfect. And anything that you do doesn't count. You don't go into heaven because you did something or because you didn't do something. You don't go in because you did or didn't. You go in because he did. And to prove it, when death held him, it couldn't. It couldn't keep him. King David, his ancestor, died, and Jesus said, his tomb is still with us. He's still held by death. And he won't resurrect until the last day, which is now. We're living in those days. And some of you who are alive right now will actually see the return of the Lord, and maybe all of us, who knows? Could be very soon. There's nobody that knows the day or the hour, so you don't want to postpone it. You want to realize that what Wyatt had done in his life to live for the Lord wasn't to get him into heaven. It was to get others into heaven. That was the purpose of his life. He didn't go because he did a good work. He went because Jesus did a good work. He believed. He heard the preaching. He received it. He believed it. And therefore he walked in it. And you can't make a person not do that. That's how you can tell if someone's a believer. They're full of joy. He's not sad, as Debbie said, we're sad because we don't want, you know, it's incomprehensible. He can't be dead. He has to be alive. But he's not, because God knows something you don't know. God knows something that none of us can understand. You know, he was the one that grew up out of the body. David Halverson also did, by the way. But he grew up out of the body, and he was the one that from the smallest age, I'm going to be a minister. I want to be just like that guy. That's powerful. And I remember saying that to him a week ago, sitting right there. And it was powerful. Thank God that the Holy Spirit prompted me to say those words, which is unusual. But that's what the Holy Spirit said, say it. And I said it. But now, thank God. That was God preparing him and us, that the best has been saved to the last. Amen. The best. The Old Testament says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Except a grain of wheat, you know, a corn or an acorn or anything, a small seed, falls into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If you leave it on top of the ground, it abides alone, if you leave it here. But if it goes into the ground and it dies, then it'll bear much fruit, fruit that will continue on and on. So Wyatt's death didn't end the glory of God from his life, but actually it bore much fruit already. And much of it we'll even see, but much of it we don't see. I'm sure we'll never know. But his prayers and his love and his being open to God as a young person, that is very unusual for a young person, but not impossible, but it's unusual to already live with such intensity, especially in the last few years, that it was too powerful. So the mantle falls on you now. Are you ready? Yeah. It's powerful. Because, did you know all of us are missionaries? All of us are ambassadors. All of us are, you know, wherever you are to carry it. But I dare say he was the best example. It was incredible how I think he probably saved several people that week. It's just like that. He couldn't meet someone and say, do you know Jesus? You know, you need to. And he could just then talk. Not everyone could receive it, but many did. Because the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. There was a laborer. Wyatt was a laborer. And he was so excited every day. I'm sure he woke up with joy in his step, as I do. It's very powerful when you're a believer and you know you've got good news that isn't so self-evident out there in the world, even in the church. I think the church is probably one of the hardest places to get born again. The teaching and so on. The church has really not understood the power of the gospel always, how great it is, what good news it is. And so, but Wyatt did. And he did from a young age. I remember his blue suit. Do you remember that? It was a light blue suit. And he had a little satchel, just like I did. And 7-year-olds don't usually wear suits. But he did, and a tie. He had a tie. And I believe Debbie told me that one day they drove away from home, and he says, no, we have to go back. What? I have to get my Bible and my case. I can't go to church without everything. And so, did I get that roughly right? So he had to turn around and go back. You were late. Yeah, which has never happened before. So, but we don't care about those things. So everything's on time always. Everything is always on time. There's nothing out of order. Remember when Jesus folded his napkins when he rose from the dead? He folded his napkins to indicate nothing is out of order. Don't worry, this is peaceful. It's written in the Bible. Whatever's written, that's how Jesus defeated the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. Gegraphetai. And so something that's written down by God is certain to come to pass. It never has the word been preached that something, some fruit didn't come from that word. And every time we teach, any time that we put forth the word, even every time you walk into a room, the presence of God should be, needs to be, evident so that people know that was God. That was God. And what makes a church is just where there's two people that heard God or saw God or experienced God that day. One said, I saw the Lord today, and another one says, me too. That's a church. A church is not how many members you have. It's how many experience the living God every time he spoke or acted or showed up. So Wyatt is no longer with us to encourage us and tell us all the exciting things that's going on in his life. But his testimonies, which we heard, I'll never forget those. That's powerful. I mean, wherever he went to Israel or, you know, I know he went to a lot of places, but it was always for the same purpose, just to share the Lord with people that haven't heard it or have heard it but need to be revitalized. So, anastasis, the Greek word, to stand again. So, it's like when you go to sleep. If you lay down and then you awaken, it's the same. You awake to stand up, not just sit up, but you awake to stand again. So every day when we go to sleep, we resurrect every morning. But out of the dead, that's different. That's why it said Jesus was raised from out of the dead, ectu thanatou, from out of the dead. In other words, the realm of the dead can't keep him. Now that, the dead have kept, they've kept everybody, but not those that are in Christ. Not those that are in Christ. When he rose, they all rose. So we are looking forward to what they call the general resurrection from the dead. And the righteous are first. That's why blessed are those. Happy are those that come out of the first resurrection, the righteous. That's when the righteous come. All right, I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll go through about 15 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, listen carefully now. I declare to you the gospel. That's number one. Declare. Which I preached to you. That's number two. I declare it. Which I preached. Which also you have received, and wherein you now stand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I declared to you the gospel. I declared it. I proclaimed it. I preached that to you. You received it so that you could stand in it. So you could stand in it. How many have the certainty, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many have the certainty then that the gospel which was preached, which was then, you know, having been declared, which was then received by you, is something you can stand in and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know on the latter day I shall see him on the earth. Jesus is not coming back to heaven. He's coming back to earth to raise the dead. And so all who have no hope, they chose that. They chose not to hear the declaration and not to receive it and so on. And that's the ones we're praying for. That's the ones that you need to give the word to, because you never know when your days are done. You never know when your days are done, so that now you have to wait, lay down, not move, until the Lord comes back, and when Wyatt wakes up, he'll see Jesus. Everyone will. Everyone who wakes up, Jesus calls death sleep for a believer. It's not for others. But for us, it's just a sleep. And you wake up, and immediately you see the face of Jesus, and you rejoice. So the Lord is coming back, and he will gather those that are alive, and there'll be a great celebration for all who are ready in Christ to be part of the first resurrection. And then that will happen, and after that, there'll be a 1,000-year reign on earth with Jesus living in Jerusalem. He won't just be going back to heaven, but he'll actually be here for 1,000 years. Why? Because God wants to show you something, that when he says he wants good government on earth, even if he has to do it himself through his own son, and of course he has to, then he's going to have that. And when he promises Israel that they'll have a land that he promised to them, and they believed in it, he has to deliver on that promise. And so it'll go all the way to the Euphrates River. It'll go all the way up into Syria. It'll go all the way down into Africa. And because of that, for 1,000 years, no wicked person anywhere on earth will be able to reign and rule ever again. So as soon as he comes back, it's over. He won't come back until the Antichrist has tried his hand at, you know, taking away all hope from the earth. So it's a hard time that's coming. The day of the Lord is a hard time that's coming for the earth, but not for us. Because we're not part of this world. So it doesn't affect us. Because we have the certainty, the rock solid certainty of the word. And therefore, we have the joy today. We're not waiting to see it. We already believe it. So those four things, declare that gospel, preach it, because it's real, and then you receive it and stand in it. By which, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 15:2, you also are saved if you keep in memory, keep in your mind, what I have preached to you, unless you've believed in vain. So there are many in the church today that believe in vain because they really don't have that certainty. They hope, they're wishing. I hope that's the case. But you can know for certain, but not based on self-evident truth, based on a revealed truth that God kept, a mystery that he kept from every single person on earth. So Buddhism doesn't know it. The Muslim religion doesn't know it. Hinduism doesn't know it. Even Judaism, though it had the words, didn't know it by experience. They couldn't enter in. But a given Jewish person or a given Muslim person or a given Buddhist or Hindu or Satanist or witchcraft person, whoever, can come. There's no one stopping them. And that's why we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Speaking the truth in love. If you speak the truth, but you don't do it in love, it won't work. Even though you know the truth, maybe you've even experienced yourself, but if you don't speak it in love, that's why we must be mature. Because love is perfect love, love perfected. Not just that he loved us, or even that we love him and submit to him, but also that we walk in love for others. That's perfect love. So that men may see your good works, and what they're seeing is the Lord. What they're seeing is the Lord in us, acting out through us to them, and then give glory to the Father which is in heaven. So that's our standing, and it's an eternal standing. You know, that's our certainty is the best has been saved to the last. And we live in these last days. And people have said that all for a long time, for 1,000 years and then another 1,000 years. And so couldn't it be another 1,000 years? No, it cannot. Because this third thousand in which we are now, though it's just begun, this third day for the Lord, 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, is when he will come back. We don't know exactly when, but I guarantee you it won't be at the last minute. So it's not going to be after 1,000 years. It's going to be early, as Jesus rose early in the morning on the third day, so also it'll be early. So we don't know exactly, but you should not postpone it. If you've heard this gospel, you can't make yourself believe it, but as you hear it, listen carefully, this is the certainty that God wants for you that you'll never comprehend with your mind. You'll never be able to grasp this with your emotions. Like emotions, do you feel good? It has nothing to do with feeling good. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. If the policeman says pull over, you may not feel good about it. But he doesn't care. Officer, I just want to tell you, I don't feel good about having a ticket. This is my 8th ticket this month. He doesn't care. Take it to the judge. So truth has nothing to do with feelings or thoughts or desires. Well, I don't want to have a ticket. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't understand why. You know, it doesn't matter. All that matters is the truth. Truth has nothing to do with psychology. Psychology and behavior are irrelevant. The only thing that's going to keep you alive forever and ever is certainty of believing in this word that was preached. So Paul says, you know, I preached this gospel to you. And not only that, you received it, and not only that, you now stand in it. And that is the foundation of your salvation. That's how you get justified, sanctified, glorified. so that when he comes back again, I don't want anyone to miss that. Nothing I can do to make you do it. I don't have any ability whatsoever to say it in an interesting way. And so it doesn't matter how I say it or what you know about me or whether I'm perfect or not, I'm not. But it doesn't matter. Wyatt wasn't perfect. Doesn't have to be. All you have to do is just believe what he said, and then as you hear, then respond. And if you don't hear, you just act in your own self. I've acted many times in the flesh. I didn't hear. So it's not like up to me to get that. He's already spoken. He's not going to say a new gospel. What God spoke from the beginning, he will never change. He's not going to change it. Old Testament or New Testament, it's all the same. It's all the same. God has, from the foundation of the world, hidden this mystery or this truth, which when Jesus came, then was revealed. For I delivered, verse 3, I delivered to you, first of all, whatever I received. How? Number one, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So, according to the Scriptures means God had foretold this from the beginning, that he would die, be buried, and raised. Now, the burial is important in the middle. Not only did he die for us, we saw that. People saw that. They saw his death. They saw him expire. They saw him, heard the words he said, and saw the blood and the water pour out of him. So they saw that. But not only that, he was buried. So there was no hope of him coming out of that tomb. And then they had stationed the guards, Roman soldiers were all there. And then the Jews had a big interest in, they remembered what he said. Unlike Christians, Jews really pay attention to what Jesus says. And they knew. He said on the third day he'd rise again. Let's make sure that doesn't happen. And they were going to guarantee that. He cannot get out of that grave. So put it and seal the stone. Don't just put a stone on it, but seal it. So it can't be opened. Then put a whole bunch of soldiers all around it too. Just on that third day. That's the only day you have to watch. And so when that happened, it was you only could have the soldiers doing it, the Jews doing it, or the disciples doing it. That's it. Somebody had to steal that body. And you remember how Mary came and she found him. And she didn't have to roll the stone away. The angels had done that. An earthquake had occurred. Unbroke the seal, the angels rolled back the stone, and everything was in order. Now, this gospel of death, burial, resurrection is the same pattern for every man. It's the same pattern for Wyatt. It's the same pattern for all of us. Then, after that, he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren, more than 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present time, but some are fallen asleep. So the greater part of the 500 that Jesus showed himself to were all believers. Not one unbeliever ever saw Jesus after his resurrection. Now you say, well, why didn't he have at least one or two unbelievers see it so they could testify of it? God did not want that. Because in his risen form, it's a matter of faith. He didn't want it to be a matter of sight. He wanted them to see, based on their unbelief, even the believers. Even the believers didn't believe. Have you ever been in that situation where though you're a believer, you didn't believe? You read something in the Scripture and say, oh, I don't think I believe that. And that's normal. Okay, but that doesn't mean you don't have faith. That means you have faith enough to say, I don't believe that because you don't want to lie. I don't think I believe that. For example, I don't believe that that axe head that flew off the handle of that stick in the Old Testament went into the water and then floated up. I mean, I don't believe that. I never saw that. So that wouldn't be a self-evident truth. I've never seen that float like that. How can that axe head float up? But it's a miracle. And everybody then, when they saw it, they believed. But I'm like Thomas. Well, unless I see that myself, I'm not going to believe in that. How many know that God can do it theoretically, but I've never seen it. I've never experienced that. So there are things you read in the Bible that ain't necessarily so. So everything that you read, you may not believe all that. That's okay. Just tell him, God, I don't believe that, but I know I'm supposed to, but help me. Help thou my unbelief, right? And so that's normal. So that's just psychological. I believe if God says it's true, but I've never seen it. I would like to see that. I'd like to experience that. And I don't know about you, but you don't have to be afraid of telling God, well, I don't believe in that. Could you show me that? Could you do that? For example, could a bad relationship be restored? Many people would say, never. But I believe that any bad relationship can be restored. So, when someone says, no, this one's hopeless, I go, good. That's good. Because I do believe in that. That's because I've seen it over and over again, that there is no such thing as a hopeless relationship. I remember we had one family, they're not here today, but we had one family where the wife said, after the husband had been naughty many times, he said, I will never talk to that man again. I don't want to ever see him again. And today they're happily married again. So it just shows that people say things in the emotion of the moment and so on, and they're full of bitterness and anger or whatever, but it's still possible. So when somebody says, I don't believe, that doesn't mean they don't. That just means in that moment, psychologically, they can't. They won't. They're stubborn. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you're in a situation that's impossible, suddenly faith can come to you. And you realize there's no hope. There's no hope for this. And I love it. I love it because even Wyatt went through many impossible situations, but that boy prayed. And because he prayed, he then saw what he prayed for. And it was impossible. There was no possibility. But today, it's possible. Now, God wants us all then to not be afraid of being who you are. Never be what you ought to be. Always be what you are. The one that he loves is who you are. So let's say you have a bad thought. Good. Keep it. It's okay. Jesus is not disturbed by that. How many know he knows everything anyway? Before you knew it, he knew it. So don't be afraid of who you are. Just be who you are. He doesn't love who you're not. He loves who you are. And so that kind of love, I've never watched Wyatt share the gospel, but I guarantee you, there was an amount of love tied to that, no matter how it appeared or looked, or it wouldn't have produced fruit. Love does not set people free, but love attracts people. Truth sets people free. But when you take the love that the truth is wrapped in, you bite into the truth without knowing it. And say, oh, I didn't know it was Jesus. But you just bought into the truth, which is that Jesus loves you. But if you preach that, then it would only set you free if the love surrounded it. It's because of the love of God that reaches us. Then the truth sets us free. Truth itself won't do it. But truth spoken in love. And that was Wyatt's ministry in life. And so that's a powerful thing. Always speak it in love. Don't have any malice in you. Don't have any, you know, human flesh to add to it. Pride, whatever. After that, verse 7, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me, Paul writes, also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God's church. But by the grace of God, verse 10, I am what I am. So never be ashamed, never regret. Whatever has happened to you, whatever you did, whatever you didn't do, that's the way it is. Just accept it. Don't try to get away from it. Just say, no, that's the truth. That really did happen. Which was bestowed upon me. The grace of God was bestowed upon me, and not in vain. In fact, I labored more abundantly than everyone. But it wasn't I. It was the grace of God which was working within me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so you've believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, Anastasis, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection from out of the dead, then Christ has died in vain. But he didn't die in vain. So because of that, we have no fear. We know exactly where Wyatt is. He's laying down, resting right now, sleeping. And then when he wakes up, which he will, and he will resurrect from the dead, he'll stand on his feet and he'll complete that which he began here again. Have a whole 1,000 years to finish his ministry. So it's powerful. And all of us then have no fear of death. I know you won't all say this, but everyone, I want you to say, I'm not afraid of death. Now your flesh is. So that was the part that didn't want to say it. But your spirit is not. Because of the certainty of this word, I do not have any fear of death. Death is a wonderful thing. It can't come by Satan. It can't come by circumstance. It comes because God said, now. If God didn't will this death, I don't mean he wanted him to die. I mean he allowed him to die at this point. It wouldn't have happened. This is my personal story. Because you can't believe these things unless you experience them, as I said earlier. I believe that when I fell off the roof two or three years ago, on October 24, 2011, I believe when that happened that I died. That's what I believe. The blood was all over and so on. It doesn't mean you're dead, but it's a pretty good indication. And then I was just a clump, you know, just 10 foot, just fall, you know, like that onto your head, onto, I don't know, 4 inches of cement or something. And then, you know, there were lung was collapsed and so on and so forth. But I didn't know that. And my eye was swollen. I didn't know that, which I should have, but I didn't. Which my ear had 19 stitches later, and I didn't know about any of that. Lung was collapsed. The ribs, fractured. The vertebrae crushed, 4 of them, and so on. But I didn't know any of that. All I knew is when Peggy looked at me and went, he's dead. She just knew it. He's dead because the blood is spilling out, so there's no hope. It's gone. And he and ran it right on his head. And it didn't affect me, by the way. It didn't affect me at all. So I'm not brain damaged. and I didn't break my back and all those kind of things. I'm in perfect shape. But when that happened, she prayed this prayer, which she didn't think about at all. It just came out of her spontaneously as she was just stunned because she saw me just fly off the roof onto my head with no hands. You know, I wasn't like trying to brace myself because I was completely out of it. I mean, I wasn't aware of any of it. I never felt it, never thought about it. And when she prayed, Jesus, Jesus, I can't live without him. Apparently, I moved immediately when she said that. And I count that as a miracle. I count that as, you know, I don't care whether it's true or not. This is what I believe. It doesn't matter if I'm right. And I believe right then I began to move. And I remember this, because I do remember this, that I wanted to move and get up. I wanted to stand up. And those that were around, there were 7 men on the roof that somehow got down and so on. And they were holding me down. And they said, don't move. I remember them saying that. And I went, no, I want to get up. Leave me alone. I'm fine. Which I didn't know. I had a collapsed lung and, you know, all I didn't know any of it. But I want to move. Don't hold me down like this. I want to get up and finish my job. You know, I was sweeping off the roof so none of the dust went into the attic, you know, when I was up there. Somehow I blacked out and then tripped over a nail or something and just flew off the roof onto my head. But when she said that, I began to move. So I believe, you know, whether I was dead or not, I just believe she saved me. So thank you, Peggy. I'm very nice to her now. And so that does show that something happened to my brain. But anyway, so I believe that death can't hold somebody unless God approves of it. And I believe he had told me before any of that happened that this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. And so I agreed. I'm going to do that. And I'm doing it. But I want you to finish what I told you to do. And so they held me. And this one guy from our Dallas church, Willis, he held me down. And I knew he was doing it. And I was very unhappy with him for doing that because he's a muscle builder, you know, kind of guy, bigger than me and all that. I said, let me up. I need to get up and get back to work, you know, get back up on the ladder and so on and so forth. Let me go. But they eventually said, if you don't stop moving, if you don't just sit still, we're going to have to, you know, hit you or something, you know, to knock you out. And they didn't want to hurt me, but anyway. But by then, the thing came and I blacked out again, so I don't know what happened. But they wouldn't let me up. So I think of Jesus when Mary Magdalene was holding him. Let me go. I gotta go home and show myself to the Father. So I believe in the resurrection of the dead. In my own case, I really believe I died. But that Jesus wouldn't let me die because I hadn't finished the work. And so I came back. So I believe I was down and I was about to stand up, and not yet. And that saved my life. Because I didn't know all those things that were wrong with me. I had no idea. But within a month or two, I was back to my normal life. And the proof that I'm okay is that I shot an 80. Because I've never shot an 80. And I told Bill Piper, whom I was playing with, Bill, you can beat me today because I don't even know if I can swing a club. I hadn't practiced or anything. I don't know if I can even swing a club. So I'll probably do one or two holes and then quit. Good. He was excited. And so that day I shot an 80, which is the best I've ever done. And that was like, wow, that's the only thing I cared about was shooting that 80. So, the rest of it somebody else can do, you know, I'm not that serious person. But God wants us to know that when he gives you an assignment, you need to finish it, whatever God told you to do. So that is my whole life now, is not to play golf, but to do whatever God said, to do what God said. So he has my total attention. And I believe that God is about to come back, and we have to get everybody ready for that day, and it's here. It's going to start here. That we need to be the model. We need to show. So I didn't believe we're just any church somewhere. I believe we actually have a special role, that it has to start here. And I believe last year in July, it started in 2013 in Dallas, just as God told me, because he had told me this before. And then it would spread, and then it would go all over Texas, and then all over the nation, and then all over the world. And I told this to somebody, and maybe that person's here, but I told this to somebody the other day. I don't usually share that. And they said, he began to cry, big, tall, strapping young man. But he began to cry, and he said, I have known that for 20 years. What you just said. Wow, that was powerful. Because he's someone I never met before, never saw him before, and I don't know why I shared. I just was sharing and thinking he probably doesn't care at all what I'm sharing. But he was a Jewish Christian. He's Jewish ethnically, but he'd become a Christian. And, so I was just sharing about Israel's hope. That Israel's hope is that God's not finished with Israel yet. And I'm certain Wyatt probably also believed that, because it's a very big thing with me, is that Israel is going to not only survive, but they will resurrect. They will be restored. Remember, they asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father himself has fixed. In other words, that time is after 2,000 years. Well, we're there now. So anytime after 2,000 years, the Antichrist will come. He will seek to destroy Israel, but he'll end up purifying Israel. And Israel and the church will then be part of God's holy remnant and will go in together into the kingdom of God. That has not happened. I also believe that God is going to raise up a black man in this day. Probably he's already alive. And that man will build testimony to the fact that though God never cursed Nimrod for taking the world away from God and creating a false religion in Baalism, I believe that man will bring the world back to God, Jesus Christ, and that the whole world then, out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, not everyone but some, will then be part of the kingdom of God. So Jew and Gentile from all over will be restored, and everyone will have his place. So the whole family of man will not have lived in vain, but will finish the task that God gave for them, even if today it doesn't look like it. And it doesn't. It looks today like we're in trouble. Everyone reads the news and it looks hopeless. It's not. This is the best day to be alive. Don't worry about all the stuff that's happening. We have all the agenda, not the other guy. The other guys don't have anything. We're the light, we're the salt, we're the hope, we're the ones with the truth that we preach and teach so it'll be received and they'll stand in it, and then the Lord will come back for the bride, which is without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Never happened for 2,000 years. But I believe we'll see that day, and I believe it's starting right now. So this is an exciting day to be alive. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, not out of mercy, but out of mercy to us, so that he could be the first fruits from the dead, and we too then can die and then rise again from the dead and finish the work that God originally intended for the earth to have for 1,000 years. Wyatt will be with us. The dead will also rise up. And all of those who have lived before us will all be gathered together, and we will just be the last harvest. This is the final harvest. And so Israel will be harvested. The Gentiles will be harvested. There'll be no family on earth that doesn't have some that are part of that harvest. It's an exciting time. Knowing that, you have the certainty, based on the word, you have the certainty that that's going to happen just as he said. So the best has been saved now. The best wine will now be drunk by this world so that they come to faith. So don't be surprised at what's about to happen. It will not be ordinary. It will not be standard. It'll be different than what we've seen for 2,000 years in the church. The church has been very human for 2,000 years. Very human. I mean, all the stuff that's happened, it's amazing that the church even survived. But Jesus swore an oath, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So now it's about to come forth in all of its glory and splendor. You've been chosen to be part of this generation. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it. That's why resurrection from the dead is our primary teaching. Jesus Christ resurrected to live in you, in me. Jesus Christ is not up in heaven. Heaven is in us. And heaven on earth is what God's always wanted from his church, and he's never received it. It's been here and it's been there, a little bit here, a little bit there. But now he's picked us as the people who would be part of the last day's great evangelism, whether it's out of China or India or Russia or Latvia or Togo. It doesn't matter. He's about to come back and take what is his. So it's an exciting time. Thank God for Wyatt's life. The few years that he lived were extremely fruitful, unbelievably so. But anyone can be as Wyatt was. Just simply sold out 100%. No life of his own, just to live for the Lord. It's powerful. Well, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for this day. This is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we thank you that we who are still alive are alive with hope. The hope in the resurrection from the dead. The hope that death is not the last word, but that life is the final word. Eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. That same eternal life is now in us. We can never die. And even though we biologically die, yet we shall live and stand upon the earth and stay standing as we are in your life to continue forever and ever. And all the people said,